Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text upon which we base the meditation is the epistle lesson from Acts, the 20th chapter, which was read before. And you can follow along on the back of your bulletins. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Apostle Paul was a world missionary from the first century. And today, in our text, he is saying farewell to a congregation that he has served for some 3 years. Now, Paul was a very active missionary. He wanted to go and see hundreds and thousands of Gentiles and Jews around the world and to talk to them about Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so he never stayed very long in one place. He was constantly on the move. And not only did the Apostle Paul move, but he took with him his whole team. He had a team of ministers with him. Silas, Timothy, Mark, Luke, and others traveled with him. It appears the longest that he stayed in any one congregation was that time that he spent at Ephesus. For 3 years, we're told that he labored there. He suffered there. He was persecuted there vigorously by the Jews. Appears that at one time Paul was in prison there and feared for his life because he was fighting lions, we are told elsewhere. And so Paul was used to being in prison. Yet in all of that, as he speaks to the Ephesians, he never complains. Complains that he's been unfairly treated by God by being persecuted in this way. Instead, he says he counts everything as a blessing. Counts everything as a blessing because if through that he can remain faithful to God, that's his final. The ultimate goal and hope of the Apostle Paul is that he remains faithful to God and so can enter into eternal life. He desires to serve that God who has redeemed him, to serve the Lord who died for his sins, to serve him wherever the Spirit might lead him, even if that meant into prison and more persecution. In fact, Paul tells him that he has a call now once again to serve God, a call that first is going to take him to Jerusalem. Now, he's taken a collection to Jerusalem. He's one of those that have been appointed by the church to gather this collection that Paul started up in all the mission churches that he had started in Asia Minor and in Greece, and they have now gathered that offering, and Paul is taking it back to the church in Jerusalem, because at this time, the church in Jerusalem is suffering from a famine that has been going on for some time. And so while he's going there on what we would call a very good and upright mission to Jerusalem, he's also been warned by the Holy Spirit that he would be taken captive there, that he would suffer many things in Jerusalem when he gets there. And so now as he tells these pastors and the leaders of the church at Ephesus, he says, I'm not going to see any of you anymore. He will not see them anymore because God is calling him to a new and different field, a field in this world where he is to serve the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But even though Paul has had warnings of what lay ahead of him, he doesn't turn aside. He knew that he was to bear that cross by going to Jerusalem. He knew that the cross would involve being persecuted there. He could very easily from a human point of view and from the point of view of many of the congregations and pastors that talked to him on the way to Jerusalem, he could have just not gone. If he had not gone to Jerusalem, his life would have been relatively good and relatively simple, probably relatively free of persecution. But that wasn't what God desired of him. God desired different things. And so Paul goes. And yes, he suffers in Jerusalem for preaching the gospel. He's put in chains. He's put in prison. Ultimately, he's sent to Rome, where he again preaches and teaches in chains. And then finally is set free and goes on from there to Spain and other places to return to Rome a little later when he is put to death at that time for his faith in Jesus Christ. And so Paul continues to preach and teach wherever he is. But he has a parting word for these elders at Ephesus. He's called them from Miletus to come there, distance of 20 or 30 miles, on his way to Jerusalem. Paul has been absent. He hasn't been the pastor of this congregation for a few years already, but the congregation still held him very close and very dear. Paul had been serving the congregations in Corinth, in Philippi, and other places in Greece. And so he continues to hold these people dear to his heart, though. And so now he doesn't shrink from telling them that gospel of the forgiveness of Christ. Publicly and privately, Paul says, I taught you in your homes and in the temples and other things. I taught you about Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection. I proclaimed to you the whole counsel of God those 3 years so that he could declare, he says, if any of you perish, if any of you fall away from the faith, you cannot blame me. You cannot blame Paul for that. If any one of them is going to be lost, they're going to be lost and condemned to the fires of hell because of their own fault, their own guilt, not because Paul had not taught them all of the scriptures. All the scriptures are good for counseling, for rebuke, for teaching the way of salvation. And Paul says he did not shy away from doing that at any time. He knew in his heart that he had taught that word of God and its truth and the purity. But then he tells them, unfortunately, in the future, that's not going to be the case. Many pastors, many teachers are not able to make the same statement that Paul did. There are many pastors and congregations even today who do not teach the word of God and its truth and purity. Scripture tells us that in the last days, people will have itching ears that desire to hear what they want to hear, not what God's word says, not what is true and scriptural, but what they want to hear. They want to hear the popular thing, the thing that seems to be in at the present time. Even if it isn't scriptural, even if it doesn't follow the word of God, they want to do that which is popular and what we might call politically correct. And the result is that several things that the Bible condemns as immoral and sinful today have been declared legal and right by our governments. And pastors and churches have joined in declaring them legal and right, basically have torn pages out of Scripture that they do no longer like. Paul says he was not such a pastor. He was not such a false pastor. But instead he condemns those false pastors, and he tells them that even some of those pastors there at Miletus, some of those who are pastors at Ephesus at this time, that they too will fall prey to this desire to be popular and well-liked by the congregation, and so they will not preach the word of God in its truth and purity, but instead will try to do that which seems to be most pleasing to the congregation. Sometimes it would seem that we should take an opinion poll to see what is it that people want to hear, and then preach on that rather than the word of God. But to do so would be to fail our calling as pastors. If we will but follow the word of God, if we will follow the guidance of the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Spirit, search the Scriptures, looking in them for the answers, then God says we will find the answers to our questions, the answers to a question of where shall we live for eternity, and we shall live with God in eternity. But if we follow the wolves that come to us in sheep's clothing, that in a sense are out to destroy the Word of God and to tear it pages by pages out of the Word of God, and thereby to lead us astray into that which seems popular and well-liked by people around us, then God says we'll be lost. Lost because we made the Word of God of no effect in our lives. Lost because we watered it down and destroyed its substance with the opinion of sinful men rather than adhering to the Word of God. Let's pray that that does not happen to us. Instead, let us study the Word of God, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest that Word of God so that it becomes a part of our life, part of who we are, a person who has been redeemed by Jesus Christ, a person who has been forgiven their sins because of Jesus' death on the cross in our place. Let's count everything as worthless in order that we might obtain eternal life, as Paul says, that we might be faithful, faithful to God and serve Him. Serve Him wherever our faith might lead us, even if it leads us into persecution, as Paul knew he would suffer, or leads us into a life that is relatively free of that persecution, but a life in which we can continue to serve God as our Lord and Savior. Let's not be concerned about pleasing men, but instead our concern should be, what does God think of us? What does God think of what we are doing and how we are living? And pray that we will be faithful, faithful even unto death, so that we may follow our shepherd, Jesus Christ, into heaven forevermore. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll continue by bringing our offerings unto the Lord.